One of my favorite authors, Davis Sibel, whose books include Longitude. Every now and then I get that out and just read through it again. And Galileo's Daughter, among others, is on a line now talking about her latest book about Marie Curie, The Elements of Marie Curie. David, John Williams, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Thank you, and thanks for all the nice things you've said about my books.
Well, thanks for writing them. But why did you fall on Madame Curie? How did that happen?
I got very interested, finally, in my old age, about the issue of women in science. And I learned that Madame Curie, who is the most famous woman in the history of science and often the only woman scientist that people can think of, that she had actually opened her laboratory to about 45 other women who came to work with her from all over. And I thought that was a really wonderful story that had not been told.
Yeah. And I know her story's been told, but maybe it's not popular enough in our minds. I think you were right when you pointed out in the book.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Yeah. But I also think you were right in reminding us that, okay, quick, name some women scientists. And everybody can say Madame Curie, and I don't know who else would be on that list. We need to be better at that, don't we?
It would be nice, yeah. Or just to realize that she was never the only one. She didn't want to be the only one. And the women's names just have a way of disappearing, especially when there's someone iconic, as she is, because she won two Nobel Prizes, one in physics and one in chemistry, and no one else has ever done that. So that tends to eclipse all the many, many, many deserving women whose names are not well known.
Oh, that's interesting. You remind us, too, that her daughter then also won a Nobel Prize, I believe it was in chemistry, and makes them the only mother-daughter team to do that. Yeah, which is remarkable.
That's right.
Still. And, of course, her husband was no slouch either. So you thought, okay,
right,
I'm going to tell this story. And then how do you tell it? Just kind of walk us through the structure of the story.
The story really goes through her life because she is the thread that connects all the other women. I did think briefly about assuming people knew her story and just focusing on the other women, but that really was not a good idea. And also because some of the other women really remain very ghostly figures. They were there, their names are on a couple of scientific papers, but there's no biographical information about them. So I chose to tell her story and include all the names of the women and men mm-hmm. who helped her laboratory become so respected and famous and large.
And you do so without watering down the science, too, though. I mean, just the very discovery of radiation and radioactive elements, and then how they got them and how they tried to distill the radioactive particles out of ore. In fact, the happenstance sort of way that it was discovered that radium was a burning entity. I thought all of that was fascinating, too.
Thank you. Yeah, there's a lot of science in this book, but I did work very hard to tell it as a story. It's so interesting to go back that far and realize that no one yet knew about the atom. The theory had been there for a long time, but people weren't sure that that was really what was at the heart of matter. And certainly no one had any idea about subatomic particles. So many things that have happened since really got their start with the discovery of radioactivity.
We need to take a break. We'll come back. You know, there were times, though, in the book where I'm like, Marie, put it down. Get away. find a lead shield. I mean, early on, she goes, wow, my hands, the skin keeps coming off. And she was starting to contract illnesses. And you think you are, as I read this book, irradiating yourself to death. And I guess you, we know that and we live with that. But it's I think, a shadow that hangs over every page. It's 11:17. We're talking to Dava Sibel. She is the Pulitzer Prize finalist for her Galileo's Daughter. Longitude is so fascinating. And now it's the story of Marie Curie. The Elements of Marie Curie is out now, even though Curie died, gosh, 90 years ago. And the science we're talking about goes back more than a century. This is a story that still resonates. It's about the glass ceilings. It's about science. It's about radiation and its promise, things that we still, I think, are challenged with. You know, one other thing, David, that I thought was interesting, too, you know, that idea that you've got to be twice as good to get half the credit if you are a woman in some fields, that was Marie Curie.
I've heard that, yeah.
I just wonder if you would talk a little bit about some of the sexism, some of the roadblocks that she ran into because she was a woman and not a man.
She ran into numerous roadblocks, but she had a very practical attitude and a way to get around things. So she was never voted into the French Academy of Sciences, even though she was a world expert in what she did, because of immutable tradition that kept women out. And there were people, even in her own lifetime, who thought that probably Pierre had done all the work and she was just his assistant. But at the same time, she found herself the only woman in the room at elite physics meetings that were invitation only, where she met with the likes of Albert Einstein and Niels Bohr. So she straddled both worlds.
Admission to a college or a university was, in some instances, outright prohibited, right?
Right. In her native Warsaw, which was under Russian rule at the time, women were not allowed to attend university. So first she went to a secret, hidden university, and then she found a way to save money and get herself to Paris, where women were accepted in small numbers, but they were accepted.
One other thing that I would just mention, since you've talked about her leaving Poland and going to France, she had some angst about family being in one place, her being in another, her finding the love of her life in France, though. The letters that she wrote to family and to her husband, I thought were just beautiful. I don't know her voice, but I thought, well, maybe somebody who's that side of the brain, she's a scientist, won't be a poet, but she was lovely in her letters, wasn't she?
Very, and a wonderful mother. The letters between her and her two daughters are just gorgeous. And people tend to think that scientists in general are robots and not real people, that they don't have normal human passions, but they do.
The pictures of her in the laboratory, she not infrequently has these great big, you know, Victorian style dresses on and long,
yes,
puffy sleeves.
That's how she dressed.
I thought, ladies, that looked miserable to me. I guess that was either the fashion, or were she to dress down, that might have been frowned upon. I happened to notice that.
Well, she wasn't really fashionable. She was just wearing something practical. So dark colors that wouldn't show soil and a thin lab coat of cotton, even when she was working with x-rays. So x-ray exposure as much as radioactivity exposure, really were eating away at her all the time.
Yeah. It was pretty quick, though, that they realized that x-rays would reveal bone structure. And that was a valuable tool all of a sudden during the war, right?
Yes, although many doctors weren't aware of it until she got herself to the front lines in a van that she outfitted and proved to the doctors how much easier it would be to see where the bullets had entered the body. She made instant converts of those people. And then, because she couldn't be everywhere at once, she trained 150 French women to be X-ray technicians by giving them a 6-week crash course in X-ray and anatomy.
Hmm. Yeah, her energy is exhausting in this book, the places she goes, the things she does. Sometimes just the business of picking up sacks of ore or driving a van around the front line, for crying out loud. Just have a minute or so left, but it's not just her story. It's the story of other women in science. Just tell us about one other person who maybe we would benefit from knowing about as a result of this book.
Well, since we have only 1 minute, I'll focus on her daughter, who followed her parents into the laboratory and won her own Nobel Prize in chemistry and continued the work of her parents. And others came from Eastern Europe, from Scandinavia, Great Britain, even as far away as Canada. And those were just the women. Men came to work for her from as far away as India, China, and Japan.
And it was just such humble beginnings, too. I mean, she had to fight for laboratory space when it was clear that she was the top of every class she was in. And at first, they just found a closet, essentially, and said, all right, you can have that. Had she been a man, she would have, the road would have been paved for. But it didn't stop her. That
was
the other
thing.
Pierre
had trouble finding good lab space. That's always at a premium.
Yeah. It's a wonderful book. It's a wonderful story. Dava, I'm glad that you told it, and I hope that a lot of people pick it up. There was an interesting review, I thought, in the New York Times review of books, which, of course, you saw on Sunday. And they didn't say they loved the book. They didn't say they hated the book. They gave it its due, I thought, but they almost wanted to know more about the other women in the book, which I think is what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I felt that was the whole point, that we all wish we knew more about those other women. And you may know how it is with reviews. If you come out alive, that's pretty good. And it was better than that. It said the writing was elegant and that Curie's lab work unspooled like a mystery. So I'll take that. I'm very happy.
I'm glad to hear that. David, keep doing it, and let's talk again. Thank you for your time today.
I'd love to. Thank you, too. Bye.